Mosey TV.
The worst thing that can be imagined in the Christian world is when the man of lawlessness enters into the temple during the tribulation and declares the most blasphemous thing anyone can imagine. He declares he is God. This is the pinnacle of man's rebellion against God, and it is actually the event that marks the midpoint of the tribulation, after which the wrath of God is unloaded, because how dare any man put himself in the place of God? And yet, the irony here is that Christians do this every day, and in fact, it is part of their statement of faith. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MZTV. This is a shocking show today, and I've looked with fresh eyes into the passage in 2 Thessalonians that describes the man of lawlessness entering into the temple, and I've seen words here. I'm going to highlight these words for you. There's 4 words that just jumped out at me, and I'm going to show you other passages in Scripture to prove to you that this is precisely what those who claim to be believing in God and trusting in Christ are doing. This is exactly what they are doing. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we are asking you, brethren, I'm in verse 1, for the sake of the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your mind, nor yet be alarmed, either through spirit or through word, or through an epistle, as through us, as that the day of the Lord is present. The Thessalonians were under such stress and constraint that they thought that the day of the Lord was present. They thought that the tribulation was here. And Paul is saying, no, don't be deluded into thinking that, because the apostasy must come first. This is the first word. And the man of lawlessness be unveiled. The son of destruction, that's the next word, the next key word. The man of lawlessness, this is the same as the Antichrist. Another name for him, who is opposing, there's the next word, the third word, and lifting himself up over everyone termed a god or an object of veneration, so that he is seated in the temple of God, demonstrating that he is God. Let me get these straight for you and for myself. The apostasy becoming first, that the man of lawlessness be unveiled. Apostasy, lawlessness, the son of destruction. I might have missed that one the first time. Verse 3, the son of destruction who is opposing. Verse 4, apostasy, lawlessness, opposing, and destruction. Apostasy means falling away. Ever since Paul died, and even during his lifetime, there was already a falling away of the faith. Apostasy means from stand. A is from, and stasis is to stand. And it is once having a stand, but falling away from it. Now, I don't believe the Christians today have ever had a stand. I think they have come into the world of Christ already believing false things. So in order to apostatize, you have to once hear the truth and be talked out of it. This was the case in the first century, when the believers had started by believing in faith and believing in grace, and then the law keepers slipped in and they were quickly shaken. They were quickly taken away from the grace of God, which is in Christ, and to be dependent upon their own works. But since then, many millions and millions of people are born into apostasy. And one of the chief verses for apostasy is found in 2 Timothy Chapter 3, Paul says, in the last days, perilous periods will be present. He speaks of those in verse 4, 2 Timothy 3, 4, who are fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. Ask any Christian and they will point to this and say, well, people who are fond of their own gratification, these are sinners. These are people who are drinking, smoking, doing all the classic sins that Christians like to point to. But I would like to turn the finger around and point it at the Christians who say, who are fond of their own gratification, in that it is a religious gratification. It is something that congratulates itself for having distinguished itself from other human beings. This is the case for any religion, all religion. There's a self-gratification. People don't realize that there's worldly gratification and there's religious gratification. And it's the religious gratification that stinks worse than the worldly kind. Fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. Those of us who are fond of God, and everyone listening to me is fond of God, we put God in his right place and his Son in his right place as the engine behind our salvation. We're not the engine. Our belief amounted to nothing. It's Christ's belief that won everything for us. So we are not fond of our own gratification. We can't find any reason to be gratified within ourselves because we're honest and we know who we are. We're like the sinners in Jesus's day. This is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You hear any self-gratification in that? You don't. Fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God. This describes religious gratification. It describes self-righteousness. And then verse 5, having a form of devoutness, yet denying the power. This is every religion has a form of devoutness. They enter their temples with great pomp and great circumstance, and they speak in whispered, hushed tones as they approach their deity. And then sometimes they wear special costumes, special uniforms. They dress in a special way. All the forms, they raise their hands, they praise God. They have a form of devoutness, yet they deny the power. They deny the power of Christ to save, because Christ never saved anyone at the cross. He just gave everyone an opportunity to save themselves. That's the form without the power. The power of Christ to save the entire world, to bring the universe back to God. That's a great power that is denied by the Christian world, by every religion. Every religion denies the power of God because they're putting on shows themselves. They're putting on performances for God, whether it's an actual ceremony or their works, their behavior. That is having a form of devoutness, yet denying the power. And this is part of the apostasy. This is part of the falling away. And then verse 7, always learning, yet not at any time able to come to a realization of the truth. Always learning, learning, learning. Isn't it remarkable that we know people who have read the Bible over and over again, and yet they know nothing about the true God and the true Christ? It's remarkable. So now we go back to 2 Thessalonians 2. The second word is lawlessness. The man of lawlessness be unveiled, the son of destruction. Lawlessness and destruction. The religious world strains not to be lawless. In fact, they love law. The Christian world loves the law of Moses. And the chief priests did this too. They set themselves up as the ultimate followers of law. And yet Peter convicts them in Acts. He says, you by lawless hands have slain the Holy One. They killed Christ. How ironic is that? That the people getting up every day, straining to be lawful, straining to never break the law, to perform every jot and tittle of that law. Yet these were the ones who by lawless hands slayed, killed the Son of Glory. And what does our Lord say? Again, this is one of the most shocking passages in Scripture. Going to Matthew 7, 21, 23, as far as lawlessness goes, Jesus says, not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, will be entering into the kingdom of the heavens. I'm in Matthew 7, 21. But he who is doing the will of my Father, who is in the heavens. Many will be declaring to me in that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesy? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name do many powerful deeds? There's the works again. Powerful deeds. Looking at the form, but not the substance. Verse 23, and then shall I be bowing to them? I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. This is the man of lawlessness. He's called the man of lawlessness. It's lawless. And the Christian world sets itself up as the exact opposite of the Antichrist. They are the anti-Antichrist, and yet they are following in the steps of the Antichrist. They are doing now what the Antichrist will do. I'm not saying that there's not going to be an actual man who is called the man of lawlessness, who will actually go in the false temple during the tribulation and set himself up and declare that he is God. Now, that's actually going to happen. But I'm telling you that it is happening already every single day in every single church in America. I mean, it's happening all over the world in any religion, but the shock is that it is happening in the world's most popular religion, Christianity. And here, Jesus himself says that the very ones who are calling out his name, Jesus, Jesus, that is Christians, only Christians call out the name of Christ, they are actually lawless because they believe lawless things. They believe lawless things. They have put themselves in the place of God. I'm going to get to that here. They've put themselves in the place of God, and they are doing the very thing that the man of lawlessness will do. I mean, it's amazing, the hypocrisy. And again, the shock of the Pharisees being told that you are just like your fathers, the ones who killed the prophets. Oh, not us. And we tell contemporary believers that you're just like your father, the adversary. You're just like the Pharisees. You're the religious establishment today. You're the lawless ones. You would have killed Christ if you had been living in his day. Never would we do that. Why? Because you're killing me now. You're killing me. You're killing us. You hate us. You put us out of your assemblies. So back to 2 Thessalonians 1, we've covered the word apostasy. They've fallen away. The whole of Christianity has fallen away from Paul. If they ever stood in Paul, those contemporary Christians never have. They've never even started on the right foot in order to apostatize. But they're sons and daughters of the apostasy. They have inherited apostasy. It's running through their veins. The falling away from faith is running through their veins because they don't have faith in Christ. They have faith in their own faith. So that's the apostasy. The man of lawlessness covered that. They're lawless. They may be following by rote every right thing, and yet at the same time they're killing Christ by hating us and hating the truth. They make God out to be a liar. They make Christ out to be a liar. How do they make God out to be a liar? God says he's the savior of all humanity. They say, no, he's not. There, just that. You want more? God says he's operating all things in accord with the counsel of his own will. They say he's not. That's lawless. They say that the very one who came to save the human race is not going to do it, but will rather torture his enemies. That's lawless. Who is opposing? Ooh. No one should be deluding you by any method, for should not the apostasy be coming first, the man of lawlessness be unveiled, the son of destruction. Destruction. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Another shocking statement of Scripture. Philippians 1, starting with verse 27. Paul says, only be citizens walking worthily of the evangel of Christ, that whether coming and making your acquaintance or being absent, I should be hearing of your concerns that you are standing firm in one spirit, one soul, competing together in the faith of the evangel, and not being startled by those who are opposing. There it is, not being startled by those who are opposing. The man of lawlessness is opposing everything of God. Let's go back there. Who is opposing? The man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, who is opposing the priesthood of Jesus' day, opposed him at every turn. They stood against him. Likewise, those of the the contemporary Phariseehood, they oppose us no matter what truth we bring them of God creating evil, of the salvation of all, of the sovereignty of God, of the aeonian times, of the death of Christ. No matter what truth we bring them of Paul's separate gospel, they oppose in everything. And that's exactly what the Antichrist is doing. Opposing. They don't understand. They are doing the exact thing of the worst criminal in history in their minds. Who's the worst criminal in history? Oh, the Antichrist, the Antichrist, the Antichrist. Well, guess what? You people are Antichrist. You're neck deep in the apostasy. Stop short there. They're neck deep in the apostasy, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God, and have a form of the vileness, all the form, yet they deny the power, always learning, yet never coming to a realization of the truth. They're lawless, and Jesus Christ himself will call them lawless as the Antichrist. They're as lawless as the Antichrist. The Antichrist is instead of Christ. That word anti in the Greek doesn't mean against, it means instead of. Instead of Christ. And the Antichrist, I remind you, comes in as a white horse rider. He is cleaned up. He presents himself as being virtuous and righteous. And this is the Christian religion down the line, presenting themselves as virtuous and righteous. It was the Pharisees years ago presenting themselves as virtuous and righteous. What do? They kill the Messiah. And what do Christians do today? They kill us. They oppose us at every single point, to the point that they would not ever let us get up in their churches and speak. We could not announce the truth in their churches because they oppose. Opposing and lifting himself up. Opposing, lifting himself up. Before I get there, I want to look at the phrase son of destruction. And this, we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 1 for this. Son of destruction. Do you think Christians see themselves as those who are going to be destroyed? And yet they are. Back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. Not being startled by those who are opposing in anything, which is to them a proof of destruction, yet of your salvation, and this from God. For to you it is graciously granted for Christ's sake not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also, having the same struggle as you are perceiving in me and are now hearing to be in me. Suffering for his sake. And the worst suffering of Christ was being persecuted by those he came to save. Being persecuted by the religious people, by the pious, by the robed, by the very people who claimed his name. That's where the real pain is. Christians can't be persecuted by religious people, because they are the religious people. That's our lot. We're persecuted by the religious crowd, the religious people. And Paul says here that that very persecution, that very opposition is proof of what? It's proof of your salvation, yet it's proof of their destruction. Destruction. The man of lawlessness is called the son of destruction. He's going to be destroyed, and so will these people. Christians are going to be destroyed at the end of this eon, and they're not going to see the light of day until the great white throne judgment. They're sons of destruction themselves. They're practitioners of lawlessness themselves. They're children of the apostasy themselves. They're opposing at every step the truth themselves. And who is lifting himself up over everyone termed a god or an object of... This is the most horrible thing, and this is right here. This is the hot point. This is the worst thing. Here's the worst of the worst. Lifting himself up over everyone termed a god or an object of veneration, so that he is seated in the temple of God. Here it is. Demonstrating that he himself is God. Christians can't imagine anything worse, and yet they do this every day. The word God means placer, subjector, one who subjects others to his own will, one who places people where they will be at his whim. Yet this gaggle of religionists have put themselves in the place of God by making salvation where you will spend eternity, making it depend not on God and His Christ, but on themselves. They have taken the responsibility for salvation. They have taken that off the shoulders of Christ and have put it on themselves. They have seated themselves in the temple of God, and they are actually venerating themselves above God. God wills for all humanity to be saved and to come to a realization of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. Yet they can oppose that will. They can thwart that will by their own declaration. God wills a man to be saved. God wills all humanity to be saved according to the word of God. Yet they say that their wills are stronger than God. They don't say that outright because they're hypocrites, but that's what they believe. Their wills are stronger, and they can resist the wooing power of God. They can resist the love of God. They can resist the cross of Christ. They can resist all of this. What power they've given themselves. They have put themselves in the place of God. They are seated in the temple of God. They have taken Him out. They have taken Him out, the one who is operating all things. No. They don't believe that He's operating all things. They don't believe He's operating everything because each one of them has a sovereign will that can do what it wills. They can resist salvation. They can resist the wooing of God. They can resist the love of God. They can resist Satan. They can do anything because their wills are sovereign. And by saying this, by believing this, they have put God on the back burner. They have taken Him off His throne, put themselves in that place. And they are no better. In fact, they are precursors of the Antichrist, setting themselves up as God. They build temples, and they call them the temple of God. These are the temples of God, our churches, the temples of God, the temples of God. Is God the center of their temples? Is He the center of their worship, the center of their thinking? No. They're the center of everything. They're the center of everything. They have a free will, and they have the power to decide whether they're saved or not. Christ is put on the sidelines. God is put on the sidelines. Both Christ and God are kicked out of their supposed temples. And the Christians have put themselves in that seat, in His place, and in His stead. It is sickening. And they are the literal precursors of the actual Antichrist. And thus, my conclusion is that they are Antichrist. They are Antichrist.